There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Because they low down, they dirty, they some snitches. And I hate Philip Farmer. I hate their colors. I'm not a dog person. I just hate Tennessee, man. Like, and I hate Neyland Stadium. It looks like a garbage truck worker convention. And I hate all their quarterbacks. I hate Tennessee, man.
Describe what you feel about their colors, too. I thought that was interesting.
It reminds me, it's not that orange that you can stand. See, I hate Tennessee more than I hate Auburn. I just dislike Auburn. I hate Tennessee. See, Tennessee's colors is that throw-up orange. It's not that orange that you can sit with. It's that puke inside of a pumpkin orange. And I don't like pumpkins.
And so, that's how we start Midday Mobile on this Friday with those sage words from Irving Carty, who, by the way, Dalton did the cyber stalk on him this morning. He is a commercial engineer in Cleveland, Ohio now, and his fame lives on back here in the state of Alabama. It is, of course, the day before the Tennessee hosting Alabama game up at Neyland Stadium. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the show, but so much to do. And my friend sitting in the studio today, Jeff Poor from Lanyap and Breitbart and Yellowhammer News, and a man who was... Did you get a fish plate last night?
I did.
Whoa, wait, put you on the wrong mic. There we go.
I did not.
You did not? It was a fish fry, right?
Yeah, it was a fish fry. There was quite a line, if I recall, to get the fish.
So the people out, were they out to see the governor of the state of Alabama and hear why she should get, 4 years as governor, or were they out for the fish?
So
were people waiting to talk to KIV or get him a fish plate?
It's like they took I don't know if you've ever eaten at Dave's Catfish House.
Oh, yeah.
And you know the demographic there.
Yeah.
Tends to be a little older.
Yes.
It's like they took the five counties... Dave's Catfish House from the five counties and brought them to Oak Hollow Farm for a political rally. I mean, the age was a little older. It was a much different crowd than the two Roy Moore events that had been out there last year during the 2017.
In size or demographic or what?
Size about the same, but just the style. The people weren't as fired up about politics. They were definitely conservative, and they didn't, you know what I mean? They cared about politics, but they weren't. They didn't treat it like it was a pep rally for a football game.
Well, even though many, and I'll include myself in this, talk about the gubernatorial stakes like it's this hard-fought battle, which, you know, you never know anymore, because polling we all learned in 2016 may be wrong. But it's, you know, as soon as I say this, I'll be proven wrong, so I'll knock on wood here, but it does not seem neck and neck between KIV and Walt Maddox.
No, but there are some, I think there may be some intrigue there in Baldwin County. It is kind of a moderating place in the state. If you look at the entire state, places that are pretty solid Republican, but that kind of showing some signs that, you know, they might be open to some ideas, some progressive liberal ideas, particularly, I would say, Fairhope.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's interesting there is, you know, people, it tends to be more of an artist community. You know,
right, but Fairhope is not the entirety of Baldwin County.
Right, but that's where the rally was.
Yeah.
So that's
But I'll tell you right now, Oak Hollow Farm, while in the definition of being in Fairhope, is on the ragged edge of Fairhope. It is in the hinterlands to the metro Fairhope region.
So, if you're looking at this and you're a statewide Republican looking to, you know, if you had to pick five places in Alabama that you've won for years and years and years and years, and you had to look and say, well, maybe if I had to pick these five places, the top five places in Alabama that you know, maybe you would just have to give attention to,
okay,
just for the sake of checking a box.
Yeah.
It would probably be the Eastern Shore,
yeah,
Lee County, Tuscaloosa County. I think Madison County and probably over the mountain in Birmingham, Vestavia, Hoover, Homewood, that area there. Those are the places where you have a demographic, and I always like to say this, it's like a Panera Bread company, soccer mom kind of voter that may be trending, you know. I'll listen to what Doug Jones or some of these other people have to say.
Right.
And that gets you... You know, that as a Republican politician base, maybe I need to, you know, spend some time here and reinforce these ideas and kind of, you know, in case that people are kind of tinkering with the idea of voting Democrat in the future.
Okay, and we'll get into that. We got so much. We got Jeff with us for the show today, so you got questions. You have a man that has answers here. So phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. We have not talked beforehand, so I'm going to throw this at you right now as we get ready for the show. Some things I've got here. I want you to score the midterms. Online opinion poll question right now. We're giving folks a chance to vote on how you think it turns out. In other words, do the Republicans stay where they are and keep the House and Senate? Do they lose one of the bodies? Do they lose both of the bodies? Do the Democrats pick up both of the bodies? That's the online opinion poll. Love to hear from y'all there, but we're going to get Jeff's take on that in just a little bit. Of course, you could tell from the leadoff here, we're going to talk about Governor Ivey and I'm not saying, I was thinking about this morning. This is the old, no offense, Jeff, but when somebody tells you no offense, there's something coming that's offensive. Right. So, and I think it was one of the quotes I had this morning from the Maddox campaign, and they said, this is not about Governor Ivey's age.
Right.
This is not about her health.
No.
This is not about her age and health. This is nothing to do with age and health, age and health,
not
age and
all.
Health. This is about a cover-up. And so we're not talking about her age or health. We are definitely not talking about her age. We're definitely not talking about her health. This is about a cover-up.
I'm 45 years old.
Yeah, yeah. This is not, once again, let me double down and tell you, this is not about her age. This is not about her health. It's about a cover-up. Did I mention it's not about her age, A-G-E, or health, H-E-A-L-T-H. It is not about her age or health. It's about a cover-up. I mean, that is the equivalent of the, no offense. You know, I'm not going to say you're a jerk, but... I mean, come on.
Is there not a more cynical bunch than running the Walt Maddox campaign right now to think that they could pick these little, cherry pick these little things and that they will resonate with voters enough to the extent that you could get Walt Maddox elected governor of Alabama?
The point is, what you want to say, I mean, this is what I'm about, wherever this puts me on the political spectrum. I have my ideas, but I also go for truth. And this assault right now is really not based on, we'll get into the planks or the 4x8 sheet of plywood of the Maddox campaign here on policy. But for me, this is about, just say it. Just say it. During the primary, when there were Republicans in the primary that tried their own move against Kay Ivey, and this is not because I'm a banner person for Kay Ivey, but I said, say it or don't say it. You know what I'm saying? Own what you're saying. And in this case, don't come out and say, this is not about her health or her age.
The only thing I can think...
Because you're saying it, and then you're going, but I'm not talking about health or age. No. I'm going to talk about whether she could be trusted. And Spencer Collier says that he was told not to, that this trooper was told not to say anything. And you got some of those questions yesterday, and we'll get into that. Well, you know, whether some people were asking whether she knew if this trooper was demoted. And then I think the governor said actually they were given a raise or promoted. But it's interesting. Yes, there's a little kernel of the discussion of whether there's this palace intrigue going on with Kay Ivey. Did she suffer a mini stroke? Was it altitude sickness? But the frame gets the attention, not the very, you know, like when you go to a fancy museum, and I remember getting shocked by this, seeing pictures you studied in school, and the paintings were really, really big. Then you get to the museum and see the actual painting, and the frame is huge, and all the goings on, and the painting is like the size of a postcard. And, you know, you're paying attention to the frame and not the painting. That's what they're doing here. The frame is, we're not saying anything about health or age. This is about can you trust?
Well, let me ask you this real quick. Do you think that they look at this, and it did not work for Battle, Hightower, and Dawson in the primary, right?
Did not.
Do they think that the Republican voter in the primary is just different from the general electric voter? That do they think that Democrats will look at this, that, I don't know, millennials or whatever will look at this and say, you know what, we need some fresh blood in there. Do they think that this take is just different?
No, it would... Would I get it? I agree with you there. I mean, what do they expect to get from it? Yeah, but I agree that, it's a leading question. What do you expect to happen from this? And do you expect people to change their mind?
It's not so much that. Their calculus has to be, we saw how this did not work for Republicans in the primary. Why are we doing this again?
But they're not doing it. Jeff, they're asking about the state trooper. They're not talking about the health or the age of Governor Ivey. That has nothing to do with that. Also, when we come back, we'll talk about more about this. Of course, the folks over at the Alabama Political Reporter saying Governor Ivey took money from a Soros-backed PAC. Now, could this be so? We'll get into that. Also, your latest story, one of your stories over at Lanyap in the Beltway Beat, Democrats' October surprise themselves. Is it even legal to surprise yourself in the state of Alabama?
Well, I don't think they did it in Alabama. I think they did it nationally.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about how you can October surprise yourself. Jeff's going to score the midterms, and I'll get, while he's scoring things, will we be seeing the lotto anytime soon? Which, by the way, lotto fever. Stupid taxes grip the nation, and I'll give you the stats on how much money you're probably not going to win in Powerball or Mega Millions.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1222, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Friday style. My buddy Jeff in the studio. This is a lot of fun. By the way, too, Oak Hollow Farms, Jeff, is in Barnwell. It's in Barnwell, or as we call it, Barnwell, not in Fairhope. They said, we don't like to be called Fairhope.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, well, there is Barnwell. I mean, that's the community of Barnwell.
But is there a post office?
I don't know.
I don't think there is.
One of my good friends lives there in Barnwell. So let me know. Hey, let me know if you're listening right now. Is it separate? I think it's inside. I mean, his address is Fairhope.
Yeah, but your address is Fairhope. Don't try to play these games. You're 14210 South Greeno Road, Fairhope, Alabama. But 36532.
Yeah,
come on.
But that area of Fairhope is Barnwell.
Nope.
So
I'm not buying that at all.
You're not going to take the bait.
No. Okay. When I put my Dateline on my stories, right? It's Fairhope. It's not Barnwell.
Okay. Do want to give you all a heads up about the big grand opening at Havana Ray's Cigar Shop and Lounge. Now, last night was the beginning of the grand opening with the Gurkha cigar event, which was really cool because they handed out a lot of swag. That, as logos go, Gurkha cigar, like the Gurkha knife, is pretty darn cool. Plus, people were chowing down on Big Daddy Ray's famous Cuban cuisine. He is a master chef, great Cuban food. Tonight at 6, they're going to have a Maker's Mark tasting and then live music with Ryan Balthrop. Then Havana Ray's Cigar Shop will have 20% off all their Z-Car products and $4 mojitos tonight, plus continuous free giveaways, raffles running all weekend long. Tomorrow, special events are the Southern Prohibition Beer Tasting starting at 11, goes till 1, and then Jack Daniel's Tasting starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And for the beer drinkers, $2 domestics and free food all day. And, oh yeah, they'll have the games on 6 TVs at Havana Ray's, so you can come out, check out the games, and if you're Bama fan and you're hoping for a win over Tennessee, and go ahead and get your Alabama football victory cigar. And also to wind down the weekend celebration, you can come relax on Sunday with $5 Bloody Marys, $3 mimosas, and one of their comfy leather club chairs. Havana Ray's Cigar Shop and Lounge celebrating their long-awaited opening with specials for all of us, plus 10% of proceeds this weekend going to hurricane relief. Make your weekend destination Havana Ray's Cigar Shop and Lounge, 2351 Airport Boulevard, or HavanaRays.com. Which, by the way, and this is going to be a cool event. I hope to see you all out there. The man family. They're great folks. Same people with Cottage Hill Package. This is their new venue right there in Midtown. Now, I mentioned about hurricane relief. We had Alec Naiman on with us this morning. You know, he usually does the What's Cooking segment with us, but he has been now for like 10 days or over. He has been in Panama City, and he's working down there to help with the crews, the search and rescue, and the power crews, and all the people working down there. He's feeding them. But in addition, they're set up where Feeding the Gulf Coast, that charity, is giving out food to the people that are there, giving out food that they don't have to heat to cook. You know, they don't have, so many people don't have a home, let alone a full working kitchen. And that is what used to be Bay Area Food Bank. You knew about Bay Area Food Bank. Well, Feeding the Gulf Coast, same organization, and they're working down there. I have put links up on our Facebook page, on my Twitter feed. You go there, and you can get information about how to help out with the Hurricane Michael relief. This is Feeding the Gulf Coast, and they are taking every day, trucks in there with water and food and ready-to-eat meals and all those kind of things. And Alec was telling us this morning, it's set up in a parking lot there. He said, you should see the people walk up that are just, you know, so appreciative of anything as they try to rebuild their lives. Check out those links, and hopefully you can help out those folks as well. All right, 1225 and cruising on here. A couple things so on the list for this hour, and then I have a new slate of things next hour. But we are talking about the gubernatorial cycle. Governor Ivey last night at Oak Hollow Farms in Fairhope Barnwell.
Fairhope.
As that was going on, you had questions and answer with the media. And you heard a couple of them. I will get to yours, and yours is probably the closest to actually what is at stake and a discussion of real things that affect people in Alabama. But, you know, like the real policy matters that matter. But one before we get to that is this the question that was asked about the Bill Brett and the folks over at Alabama Political Reporter have a story up saying KIV took money from a Soros-backed PAC. Now, I mean, is this hard to figure out? Is this easy to figure out? I mean, is there a paper trail? Is there not a paper trail? What's the story here?
So that the AL reporter story is a response to a Yellowhammer story,
right?
Initially,
about the Soros money coming in,
and I mean, obviously they did something. They broke protocol at Political Reporter and posted a story in the afternoon, which right. you rarely see over there.
Right.
And it was a response to the Yellowhammer story. Yeah, so, you know, I don't know if it's really relevant. I kind of agree with Kay Ivey here. I find it hard to believe that George Soros would be spending money to get her elected as governor of Alabama. But
is it, you know, I'm ignorant to some degree on this. I mean, I know how kind of PACs work. You know, you're going to have a hard time figuring out where the money came into the PAC.
Right.
But if the PAC then
it's like
gives
a pass
money
through, right?
Right. But there is the mark on it if the PAC gives money to the candidate. I mean, PACs don't like give, you know, garbage bags full of money. I mean, there's a paper trail.
So, right.
It's listed. If you're listing out where you got money from, right, your campaign disclosure forms, does it say whatever PAC gave you money, right?
Right. So, potentially, though, you have a PAC, and yeah. Soros gives money to it. Probably some others get money to it. That's what they do.
They said that set a chain of PACs, Cash PAC, CMG PAC 2, ET PAC, Leadership PAC, Pride PAC 2, and T-Town PAC 2. Listing those as groups that have given to Walt Maddox. Then it says KIV campaign, let's see, a group of Tuscaloosa PACs chaired by, they're saying she got money from the same PAC that gave money to Walt Maddox.
Right.
And that Walt Maddox PAC had gotten money from George Soros. Am I close to?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the line of reasoning there. But as it stands, the way I understand it is you have a PAC and it could very well be getting money from George Soros or a George Soros group.
Yeah.
And that money, for whatever cause or whatever thing they're pushing, mm-hmm. they give to people in power. So, yeah, I think very...
Wouldn't it be a brilliant move? Wouldn't it be, to me, not a detriment to a candidate, but there's a Republican running that there's no question that they're not a wishy-washy Republican. You know, Alabama Republican, governor of the state. And somehow Kay Ivey's campaign got money given to them by that came from Soros at some point. I think it's a win. It's not going to change what Kay Ivey does.
Right.
So she got money from the opposition to win as a Republican in the state of Alabama. To me, that is a feather in the cap.
I think the underlying thing there is, look at George Soros meddling in our election.
Yeah.
And Soros is a boogeyman. Soros
yeah,
is a buzzword now.
Right.
I mean, it's oh, Soros. Oh, he's bad. He's a liberal billionaire.
Yeah, right.
He wants to sow chaos.
Listen,
and
I have to people talking to me that George Soros is backing people in municipal races here. I'm like, okay.
So well, George Soros wants to write me a check right now. Just tell me where to meet him.
Yeah, can I ride with you? Because I'll take one too. So I mean, is this nothing? I mean, is this just the?
Yeah, I do think it's one of those things that people and I kind of put this on the Ivy campaign too. They it's a boogeyman. It's just a show. It's to dirty up Walt Maddox. But if we're just going to look at the reality of it, do we really think that George Soros is try to get Ivy elected, or do you think he'd rather have Walt Maddox elected?
All right. We'll come back more of that, by the way, too. Yeah, you may be wrong here. A couple of the Barnwell people chime in, and this one, Barnwell doesn't have a post office, but it does have a Dollar General.
No. Is that it? No. It's Fairhope. Stop it. It's Fairhope.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It is Friday. It's a nice thing. Nice thing. Dr. Bill's got a pretty decent weekend. A little chance of rain tomorrow for us. But other than that, we're good. We're good. Yeah, and you're going to talk about Lotto. We will talk Lotto here a little bit. The overreaching, the national story, of course, it moves it back into whatever newscast you're listening to or watching. Mega Billions, $970 million. Although that was this morning. It's probably grown. Powerball, $430 million. And break down your odds of winning one or both at the same time. There is a parlay. There are odds on the parlay. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Also, we'll talk about the lottery back here in Alabama. My friend Jeff Poor with Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News in studio. He was out last night at the event for Governor Ivey at Oak Hollow Farms in
Fairhope.
Although there's some big discussion that there's on the text line here. People are saying they also have Barnwell Volunteer Fire Department and Barnwell Community Center.
Does it count? You gotta have a postal address for me to even take that seriously.
Yeah, and then George is talking about how much money. He said you can call George Soros a boogeyman. He deserves it. He has spent over $50 billion in U.S. politics since Trump has been elected.
Seems a little high.
Yeah, $50 billion. Maybe I know it's probably significant, but all I'm getting at is I don't doubt that. I mean, that you can actually show the paper trail where that money's in there. It's just that as a boogeyman, you can. This is the problem where we are so polarized. I can say George Soros is trying to exert his influence on American politics, and he is very liberal. That is true. If I turn around and say, that money is not in individual cases. I mean, it was argued at a municipal level before around here. Okay, it's to quit taking the boogeyman that far down, because it's a real thing. I'm not denying the George Soros thing, but quit running down rabbit trails. You know, like how much does George Soros or George Soros backed PACs prefer Democrats winning in Alabama?
Yes,
no question. Right. Not like that's not an argue. You know, that's an objective thing. Is George Soros trying to nuance, nudge something between? Is he putting money in a PAC that's eventually going to give money to Walt Maddox and Kay Ivey because he now has his hooks in Kay Ivey? Come on.
Well, let's
come on. Like George Soros is linking up the marionette strings to Kay Ivey. Give me a break. If Kay Ivey got money out of George Soros's pocket, then good for her.
I mean, they're not going to turn it away, right?
Right. So if you get the money and you don't change what you're doing, this is a win for that candidate. To me, that would be a feather in the cap, and if I'm Kay Ivey, I'm strutting.
So let's say George Soros gives to a cause that wants to have rural broadband in impoverished areas.
Okay.
He does these kinds of like things, like get out the vote or whatever. He gives money to that. They're looking at this saying, well, Ivy's from Camden. She's from Wilcox County. She may sympathize with our cause, therefore,
it's something she would be liking anyway. She already.
Let's write her a check, and then maybe we get some FaceTime with her, talk about what we think this should happen. So yeah,
I think that's a win. I think that's a win for Kay Ivey.
That's kind of how the game is played. Now, you do set yourself up for running into the future, saying, "Well, you took money from George Soros too, or whatever we're talking about here."
If I was ever, God forbid, but if I've ever running for office, that happened, I'd say absolutely. Wherever I got money from, I'm not changing my beliefs. But if they wanted to give me money to the campaign to pay staffers or have signs or have fish fries, or good, cool,
right?
I think the first politician would just go, "Oh, good, cool. I'm still the same person I was before." Next
question. It was a few years ago or a few years back when the AEA pulled a fast one. It's either on Riley or the ALGOP or something, and they bought a table at one of their functions.
Yeah, I think I remember something.
And then when the reports came out, yeah. and showed the AEA giving to this candidate.
Yeah.
And they had done it on purpose to make it seem like the AEA, they were backing this candidate to hurt his chances
right.
in future elections because they wanted his opponent in the primary to win.
Correct. Yeah. And it only takes – and if that person then runs from it and tries to deny it instead of going, oh, yeah, they bought a table and we got their money.
Right.
I mean – but yeah, but everything is done for so it can be running an ad to say and AEA money back this Republican. You know,
when you look at it on a sheet of paper,
sure.
it's just that filing and it has that line item, Alabama Education Association, and it shows $1,200 or whatever they paid for the table at this rubber chicken dinner.
Right.
It makes for a good ad. And these things happen.
That means we the people have to do a little research. We have to read Jeff Poore's stories. We have to look for ourselves to see. Don't just take the first blush. Dig us a little bit deeper.
So when you start dabbling in these games, and I think you open all sides up to that. Hey, if that's the game they want to play, but at some point I think people are just going to be like, especially in Alabama, when you hear George Soros, boom, it's going to be some kind of boogeyman.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get that reaction. That's the smart politics of the Ivy campaign. I don't think they anticipated Walt Maddox turning it around on them like so, but I think the damage was already done.
Right.
And, you know, the local TV reporters and the irrelevant Hale.com apparatus can do whatever they want and try to push this narrative, but I don't think it's going to stick.
And what about this? Let's actually get away from the na-na-na-na-boo-boo part of politics and into some real issues. And you asked about it yesterday. Medicaid expansion. You know, that was part of the discussion here. Also, because I want to get into that. Also, expanding Medicare. I mean, first of all, let's talk about, before we go any further, what does that mean? Because that gets thrown around a lot. And a lot of people say, well, this state with Obamacare did it, and this other state didn't, and Bentley said we wouldn't do it, but this other state does it, and Louisiana says it's okay. What is that?
So what happened was when they passed Obamacare, they really hamstrung the whole Medicaid, the way Medicaid works. They took money off of that.
Medicaid, not Medicare, yeah.
They took money away from that to give to Obamacare, and they did it in a way that if you accept this Medicaid money, then you're on the pathway to accepting Obamacare. A lot of people don't like that. A lot of people see their insurance premiums go up. They see, you know, they get that bill from Blue Cross Blue Shield. Those of us that had to buy it directly from the insurance company, they see it just going up and up. They don't want to continue down the path of Obamacare. They elected Donald Trump. They elected Republicans in Congress to stop this.
Mm-hmm.
But once the state takes that money, once the state is headed down the road of Medicaid expansion, and you open up this entitlement to everybody, to more people, and you it's hard to take that away.
It sets a new beachhead, right?
And furthermore, it puts the state on the hook for a lot more, you know, money than
it is
the
more
future.
Money, but it is a match, right? Or it's a breakdown between
it
the
says
feds
the percentage,
are gonna,
right?
Right. So the feds come in, which is still our tax money. It just went and got laundered up in Washington. Although Alabama, we are a net gainer in federal tax, not a net payer. I don't know if that's changed, but
that's still the case.
Okay, so very but in the fantasy case. World where our state paid more in taxes than we take in, you'll hear that? That's another hard one to deal with, but that's the truth. But in a scenario where we were, that money, federal money comes back in, and the state, just like whether we're talking about a Gulf Quest project or Medicaid expansion, there's federal money here, but the state, in this case, or municipal in or county, in the case of like a Gulf Quest, has to come up with some money.
Right, and then that's the rub right there. That where does the state come up with this money? What are they going to do to further this? To not just say, okay, here's some money up front, but it's contingent on you doing this in the future. That's the rub, and that's where Republicans are a little sheepish about backing this.
Are they scared? Number one, yes, you establish that beachhead, you can't come back from, and what happens? Is there a chance the federal money would not be there one day for this, and it would all be on the states?
Yeah, the federal money's all up front, but it's contingent on it, on the back end, the states putting up the money.
All right, we'll talk more about this when we come back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 1250 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. And my buddy, Jeff Poore, in studio. This is nice. Got a lot to talk about. And next hour, we will get into scoring the midterms. That's one of the items on my list. Also, we continue to talk about some state politics and this story that's up in over at LandyAppMobile.com, or just pick you up a paper version of LandyApp and read the Beltway Beat, Democrats' October surprise themselves. We'll talk more about that with Jeff coming up next hour. But we're kind of stuck here on a couple things, moving out of the questions surrounding planks of the platform for KIV, planks of the platform for Walt Maddox, and one of these is Medicaid expansion, and that was mentioned, a question asked last night over at Ocala Farms for Governor Ivey. So you said what? What's the question and what's the answer?
Well, so as you know, Walt Maddox has been on a bus for the last few weeks going around touting this idea. It's in his new ad. It hit the airwaves last night. So my question to Kay Ivey was, well, you know, I think everyone assumes Republicans are against Medicaid expansion at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That's the assumption. Whether it's correct or not, it remains to be seen. So wanted to get her on the record, and I think she emphasized the point that, yeah, we need quality health care in Alabama. We need to have all these things. But the Maddox idea of expanding Medicaid, if you don't have a plan to pay for it, then it's just a liberal pipe dream. That's essentially was it.
Okay.
You know? So she didn't indicate that she would be against it. She's just, you know, just for the sake of being against it, she's against it for the sake of not knowing how to pay for it.
Well, okay, and that is, right, this is a lot of unknowns. And so people hear this and make sure they understand. This is a question. This is one that Bentley was talking about, former Governor Bentley. This discussion of is it as simple? And I was asking you during the break, and give me your frank take on this. Is it as simple as going, how many people are eligible for this in the state? How many Alabamians are eligible? Then figuring out some actuarial of what percentage of people that are eligible will apply and use.
Right.
And then how much that costs, and then how much federal money is there. So then what's left over is what the state has to pay in. Am I missing? There's some unknowns.
The nuts and bolts of it, there are a lot of unknowns.
But is that basically how you would arrive at, you expand this program? And now it's available.
I have this new pool of people that are covered under this program, right?
Okay.
So you got to figure out up front, the federal government pays a lot of it up front.
Right.
On the back end, going forward, now the state's on the hook for this entitlement now that you have this whole new group of people. Now, what that percentage the federal government pays versus the state is an unknown. What the state's on the hook for, you know, I think the numbers vary. And this was the same thing we went through. So that's the question.
Right. If we had some numbers, we could, you know, I mean, at least look at it.
What's it going to – I think the number people need to try to figure out is what it's going to cost per taxpayer. How much are you and I on the – well, you as a Alabama resident are on the – how much are you on the hook for, right?
Yep.
And then we could go forward. So the idea is I think if they were to try this – there's all kinds of ideas on how to pay for it. I think the Maddox campaign has some kind of kooky idea about legalizing sports gambling in Alabama, which is never going to happen, at least not in the near term.
Right.
But there's some other ideas.
Yeah, lottery fixes everything, man.
I mean, look. All right. Well, look at, you know, the state government in Alabama can barely keep the lights on as it is. They just had a good year this session. This next session.
Oh, it's always, listen, it is hand to mouth. And for so many reasons, we talk. I mean, you know, this man right here, way savvier than I. But you know, if you want to go talk about earmarking or whatever you want to go through, there's reasons. But we are hand to mouth. I have complained about this for year after year after year. It actually had some of the politicians coming in running for office that have heard it and come in and said, you know, you're right. And they're we have been bailed out by BP money, by the feds. We've magically found a $50. You know, bill in the jacket pocket before the weekend when we needed, you know, $49, right? Every time. Eventually, there's not going to be a 50 sitting in that jacket pocket.
And there's going to be some hurt feelings. There's going to be an ugly, ugly political fight.
That's this session. You think that's going to happen for 2019?
I think they're going to. Well, the one thing I do think they'll try to do in this upcoming session is we're going to talk about raising taxes. We're going to talk about bringing in more revenue, particularly a gas tax. We know that's on the table.
The governor was asked about infrastructure, last night, too.
They're also going to talk about a lottery. They're going to talk about doing some things to at least bring in some money and address these shortfalls. I don't think it's nearly enough, but, you know, in the past, this was just kind of like, we always kind of, like you said, we'll find that $50 bill in the jacket pocket, and then everything's okay.
Yeah.
So, I think that's what I think is coming, that that at least they're kind of going down that road, facing some of these realities. And, you know, what does that mean? I think it's going to be an ugly fight. I think it's going to fall on ideological lines. It's going to be, well, let's just cut spending, or let's just cut, you know, why do we need to raise tax on hardworking Alabamians?
Yeah.
It's going to be that kind of class warfare demagoguery. But keep in mind, we just had an election, so whatever happens. And I think these legislators, these lawmakers, will just say, well, we can build back up heading into the next election and keep our safe seat intact, or whatever it is that we need to overcome politically.
Yeah, there's some people that will say this, and tell me if there's any validity to the stance in saying, listen, I'm not against any of these things, but until they get the situation fixed in Montgomery, that they're spending the money correctly and we're not overspending in departments that don't need it, then I'm going to be against anything. I believe we have these issues, but I'm not for raising any taxes until they fix those problems.
That point in time is never going to happen. You're never going to have a smooth running state government in Alabama. I mean, we tried it with Democrats, we tried it with Republicans, we tried it with both. So what is reasonable? I think this is the big question. What's a reasonable expectation to have of the state government? Most people in Alabama, they just want the state government to do public safety. They want the roads. Be fixed.
See, I think it's a winner. I think if you had to pick one place to raise revenue, and I know there's people who disagree, but I think y'all are not the majority. If you have to fix infrastructure in the state, that is something that affects most people. Bridges and roads, right? You're talking about something that's nonpartisan. Bridges and roads. And if you have some version of a gas tax where the people that are driving, and I know all the new, we can go to electric cars, we can go to the person drives from out of state, I got y'all.
But
the closest thing to some equitable way to fund that is a gas tax.
Gas tax. I mean, what else can you do? Toll roads or something to that, you know, that effect?
Same thing. Yeah, you know.
Right. Other than that, you're running out of other things. I think the other things people kind of look at, so like education, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
The healthcare crisis.
But the ETF is its own duchy. There's a wall around it, right?
Right, but it's not enough. We need to find more for it, right? It's not it's a danger or anything. It's always, there's never enough money. There's never enough resources allocated
will there
to
ever
public
be?
Education.
You know what I'm saying? Will there ever be? If you went to a 50% state tax, there still wouldn't be money.
Right. You're always going to have shortfalls. You're going to have the haves and have-nots. You're going to have cities like Mountain Brook. You're going to have cities, you know, that are going to have better schools, and then you're going to have the schools that just struggle, like Dallas County, Selma, places like that. It's just a matter of the economics. So, yeah, how do you rectify that? That's always going to be, I think, just it's going to be a perpetual problem, and we're always going to be talking about it till you and I die, probably.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to say this before we go to the break, and we'll come back next hour. Jeff's with us. Jeff Poore with Lanyap and Breitbart. Yellowhammer News, if people have not driven up to the northern third or two-thirds, really, of the state and heard the advertising going on, you mentioned demagoguing earlier, and this is important. Y'all hear this. Ads that are running, for example, in Birmingham are saying, what about their money coming to us? Wait, lay it out.
Well, so if you listen to stations just like this, spoken word talk radio, public affairs stations, there are ads running questioning the way highway dollars or transportation dollars are being spent. And one of the things they are demagoguing is saying that they want to take your tax dollars in St. Clair County, Shelby County, or wherever, mid to central to North Alabama, and they want to take them and build a bridge to the beach for terrorists to go to the beach. They want to take your money out of this county and put it down in Baldwin County so they can have a faster way to the beach, which is just kind of a shameless demagogue thing.
That's the I-10 Mobile River Bridge, y'all. They're saying that they're the same people that took RBP money, right?
We don't know that that's the case. I think the idea is the bridge is going to cross one of the waterways or something. Bridge down there maybe is might be what they're talking about. But there is a push against doing that, and it is pitting these areas of the state against one another.
Pretty interesting. Coming back with more.